Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Curtis, pressure's on. Wiggy delivered on Nate Burleson for Beat the Geek at 9 this morning, but you did not deliver on the Queen of Newport, the assistant AG, and you said you would.
So. I know. Well, I think she was overserved last night at O'Brien's.
Oh, she was? Okay, yeah. She got back in? Or was she outside?
Is there anything worse, like outside of a true crime, that you can be caught on camera doing than saying, do you know who I am?
No, you have to move.
No. Yeah.
She like, has to quit her job, move out of the country.
Like Madrid.
Yeah.
We lost Wiggy to the wieners for a moment.
Yeah, I'm gone. I ain't got no cap. I'm gone.
So we are at Newport Craft Brewery in Newport, Rhode Island, and they have Wally's Wieners here.
Yes.
And what is the goat so far for you?
The goat for me so far is the jammin' wiener.
Okay.
The jammin's good. But then the truffle wiener's good. And then this, I think this one was the Wally wiener.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
I don't remember what this one was. Uh-huh. I wish we had our guy here, but this wiener's pretty good too.
That looks like chili on top. So,
I don't know.
Oh,
it has this sweet honey mustard on it.
Okay.
But yeah, the jamming one, I'm gone. So you can do the news without me.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll do it.
I feel really sorry for the rest stop halfway home.
Oh, we have our Wally wiener.
Okay.
He's going to explain which is which.
Hold on.
Give him a mic.
Yeah.
Give him a microphone. Oh, he doesn't want to do it.
Okay.
All right, we'll figure it out. We're right in the middle. Yeah. News, please.
Police in Milford are warning about e-bikes after a teen rider was hit by a car, the third incident in just 2 days.
I'm surprised this doesn't happen way more often.
Yeah.
Because they don't follow any of the rules that the drivers have to follow.
Nope.
So
And the best part about this, because I know where Wiggy's going to go, where he's going to say, well, you know, it lands on the driver if something happens like that. It's the driver's fault. Not the case. Police say the teen boy is facing several charges after he ran a red light and collided with the car with a green light at an intersection on Main Street on Wednesday. The driver is not facing any charges for the collision. Here's Milford Police Chief Robbie Tuzino on BZ.
The problem now is they're readily available online. Anybody can get them, and when they get them, they modify them so they go as fast as 40 miles an hour. It's a recipe for disaster.
Those people should be paying excise tax like everybody else is and should get a ticket if they're not following the rules.
I always told you, Courtney, I'm on the other side. I'm on the side of the driver. It's the same people who cross when they're not supposed to be crossing. You're driving a bike and you're doing things you're not supposed to be doing. It's on you. As long as you stop and you stay there, you should be fine as a driver, but you shouldn't be blowing red lights. You shouldn't be walking across the street when the hand's pointed and telling you not to stop. That's on you. So
it's reckless. They're reckless.
Yeah.
The scooter people, the e-bike people, they're out of control.
Mm-hmm. But
out of control.
Doesn't the reaction of our mayor and the city in general tell you that they like this because they want it to be as uncomfortable as possible to drive in the city of Boston?
Yes, they don't want you driving your car.
And now that Kraft's out, like they're gonna just—it's just gonna be a giant bike lane.
Yeah. Tourists here in Boston are upset because the government is shut down, meaning that they can no longer tour the USS Constitution in Charleston.
Okay, so you're
Charlestown, sorry.
Charlestown. So you're telling me that people came here?
Yes.
Specifically to go on Old Ironsides?
Correct.
I don't know if I buy that.
Well, we have a visitor, Jim Clark, who spoke to BZ.
Okay.
There's always bickering in Washington, so this is just one of those side impacts that we have to deal with. But we'll look at the leaves a little bit later and probably forget about it.
I mean, no disrespect. It's not the greatest when it comes to what you do on the boat. Like, you go on the boat, you see that everybody used to be shorter back in the old days.
How like miserable that must that local reporter's job be? Like, you're scouring Charlestown to find a single guy upset about Old Ironside.
What's worse, going to visit that or the Plymouth Rock?
Plymouth Rock stinks.
It's the worst. Like,
it's the cultural appropriation that really gets me.
Yeah, that's true.
But I've never been to Plymouth Rock, I don't think.
Oh, it is such a letdown.
Is that Plymouth Plantation it used to be?
No, it's a different. No.
Oh, it is?
Oh, is that a
different thing?
I remember going there as a kid in school.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe I was like in eighth grade or something.
Very, very popular field trip. Like, yeah. If you look at the field trips in order of popularity, I believe they were Museum of Science, number one.
Yes.
Old with an E, Sturbridge Village, number two. Plymouth Plantation, which probably has had a name or brand change,
right.
I would hope. And
for me, it was Canopy Lake Park.
Yeah, see,
oh, really?
Now, that to me is not really educational.
We went every year.
That's crazy.
That's not education, but yeah.
The aquarium was a big one, too.
Oh, the aquarium was, yes, a big one, too.
Yeah.
So I don't even know.
Is the aquarium nice here? That's right down the street. I was going to bring the little guy, but there's
Newport.
A big aquarium right here.
All right, you're getting some thumbs up.
The one in Boston's...
Oh, the penguins are cute.
That's about it.
Police in Townsend are warning about a black bear that attacked a goat and then tried to enter a chicken coop yesterday morning. Black means what, Wiggy?
Black, you better attack.
All right, there you go. Police warn locals to bring in their bird feeders as we get into colder months. That's what's attracting the black bear. Here's a witness to the bear, Andrew Laurent, on Boston 25.
We were just at the bus stop getting the kids on the bus at the top of the neighborhood there, and you know, the fire chief came by and said that there was a bear in the neighborhood next door to us, and we heard a siren go off, so they must have found him. And next thing we know, we came between these two houses and right down my driveway and in my backyard.
Well, be careful, I guess.
Be very careful. Yeah. Now let's go to Florida.
And now
it's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of
Come to Miami.
Florida. Not like the rest of us.
The people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns.
On WEEI.
Oh, they don't close Florida.
42-year-old Robin Zick in Punta Gorda was arrested on Monday after stealing a motorized Publix shopping cart. You see those at most of the grocery stores to help those that need help getting around the aisles.
I was going to say, that's not a thing that, like, if you're shopping... Mm-hmm. Can you now get a motorized cart that goes on its own? Really?
Oh, well, yeah.
Don't you have to need it?
Yeah, you need it. But I don't think they, like, you know, if Greg walked in tomorrow and said, I need one, they're not going to check.
You're saying
no,
look
it's
like,
not. If I went in tomorrow, they would check.
Lindsay's right over there. Yeah. Don't make old
Boomer.
Jokes about me in front of Lindsay. She doesn't know how old I really
Greg
am.
Greg gets very sensitive when Lindsay laughs at one of my jokes. He gets very angry.
Well, when deputies caught up with this woman a mile away from the grocery store, she told them that she had taken the motorized shopping cart to go to a medical appointment she had. Huh? She told deputies that she planned on driving back to the Publix after the appointment to return the motorized bike. They took her to the hospital. Once she got out of the hospital, she was then arrested. So,
was she running down the street carrying it like George Costanza?
Nope, she was riding it. $2,500 will set you back for one of those.
I will say, Disneyland abuses the ability for a motorized cart. I was out there for 4th of July. Everybody's on a cart. You're like dodging them the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, my mother used to have one, and when she passed away, I had it, and the kids would drive it up and down the driveway. It was like having like a cool little scooter.
Right. ATV.
Yeah.
Can we get to some affiliate news since we're here in Rhode Island?
Yes.
Because this is kind of crazy. Wallet Hub has ranked the most hardworking and least hardworking states in the U.S. In Rhode Island, you're the latter. Coming in as the third least hardworking state, you guys tied with Oregon.
Congratulations.
Oh, hey. Room to grow.
That's why you're here on a Flex Friday.
Yeah.
So you guys should be proud. You got a little work to do to be the least hardest working state in the union, but I mean you're number three. Great job. It's got to be the weather in Newport,
the food,
the beaches,
the
golf courses. It's probably what it is. All right, great job, Rhode Island.
Yeah, the alcohol.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Don't go back to work. I wouldn't. I mean, if they're going to treat me that way, I wouldn't return to work later on today. Right. I think the whole weekend.
Yeah. This is nuts. Elon Musk hit $500 billion for his net worth on Wednesday.
Damn.
Only briefly, he settled at $499.1 billion.
Wow.
But
is that the richest person ever?
First ever to hit 500 bill.
Jesus.
So he is worth a $500 billion?
Wow. Correct.
I think he's worth now more than the second and third richest people combined.
Wow.
Damn. Which is, I think, Bezos and Zuck.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a number like you can't even compute in your mind. Do you know
he
what
could
I mean?
Buy every professional team in every major sport and still have like $100 billion left over.
Really? Yeah. What happened to people like that? They're supposed to just give us all $1 million.
Right? I don't think
right.
that.
That doesn't
that,
work no more?
It's also crazy when you consider the issues Tesla had with their customers throughout right. this year. 12% of this net worth is tied to Tesla because
I'm an alien.
Like an unbelievable year when really? It comes to sales. He was at $400 billion last year when they released this list, this Forbes list. So in a year, he reached...
I don't get it.
So if you were going to invest that money and expect a reasonable return of, let's say, 10%, he is getting $5 billion interest on that 500. No, is that right?
Yep.
No, yeah, 10% is... $50 billion.
Right, five would be 5%.
So he is getting $50 billion interest annually on that. On
not
that,
bad.
On that. On
talk
that,
about making money while you sleep.
Worth. Right. Yes.
Wow.
And I don't even like Teslas. They stink. They're like the worst car possible.
The new thing that he's got in the like that'll be released soon is that they have these huge, you know, the trucks we all drive trucks with the trailers on them. They're going to have these Tesla trucks that are computer operated mm-hmm. that take everything across America
yeah.
without drivers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're talking about the 18-wheelers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah. Shime and Wiggy love it when people lose their jobs to technology. Okay. Well, anything else?
Well, we can end with the dumbest of the day.
Okay. All right.
Stop being dumb.
And now, this woman is stone cold dumb.
I'm a dumbass.
The dumbest of the day.
Try again, dumbass.
All right, Courtney, we listened to everything that happened yesterday, and we have determined that this may have been the dumbest of the day.
Yeah, Curtis usually takes care of this, but this is something I would do, so I wanted to do it today.
Okay.
Alex Navarez, a woman in New York City, has gone viral because she took her car to get fixed after she was hearing a crackling sound during a five-hour car ride.
A crackling sound.
Crackling.
Okay.
She said it seemed like it was coming from under the hood.
Okay.
She brought it in. She got a tune-up. It cost her $700, but the guys at the shop said, we can't find anything wrong with your car. She went home kind of surprised, confused. She realized that she had the fireplace crackling backtrack on her phone playing through her car. We've all been there.
No, we haven't.
Oh, I've been there.
No.
It's like the green noise or the brown noise, whatever I listened to the night before that I forget
really?
To turn off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's shocking, really.
Wow.
But yeah, so she had that playing. So she really didn't need to spend
serious?
The $700.
I mean, that could happen to anybody.
It could.
No,
it could.
Let's
it
be
could.
So it was $700 for the tune-up?
Yep.
Yeah.
Her car, perfectly fine.
All right. You big dummy.
I would guess that has probably never happened to Jay Leno, who is going to join us momentarily here. He loves automobiles, and the legendary host of The Tonight Show, who was on with us when we were here in Newport last year, will be on with us coming up soon. It's a Patriot. That's it on the news?
That's it.
Great job, Courtney. Round of applause for Courtney.
Oh, thank you.
She's with child.
Yep.
Be nice. So Jay Leno will join us coming up here in Newport. And then at 9... Nate Burleson, who you watch every Sunday on CBS, and Nate played with Wiggy. We saw him last night. He's going to beat the geek when it comes to Shime. And we're still, we would love to get a Hill Note from you so you can leave one on any topic, obviously. What happened to the Red Sox last night among the top of the list when it comes to things that you may want to get your frustration out about. And so leave a voice note for us on the Odyssey app, and we will play the best ones coming up later on this morning. Nick Kostos will join us and tell you how to wager this weekend as well with a big game for the New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Red Sox season is over. They drop game 3 4-0. Connelly early lasted 3 2/3, giving up 3 runs on 6 hits while striking out 6 in his MLB postseason debut. We got to talk about the Yankees because Cam Schlittler started the season in Double A and last night became the first pitcher ever to fire 8 scoreless innings with 12-plus strikeouts and 0 walks in a playoff game. Alex Cora talked about the brutal 4th inning for the Sox from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
We didn't play defense. The pop-up drops is a double, then we walk.
There's a walk. They didn't hit the ball hard, but they found holes, and you know, it just happened fast. You know, the kid did a good job. He threw the ball well, induced them to weak contact, you know, and, but it just didn't happen for us tonight.
Well, they didn't find holes in the instance of the pop up. You created a hole
right.
that was not necessary. Right? So right. It's just you know, you win that game one, and you just had to win one of the other two and close right. it out.
That third base coach will be the off season of what could have been.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love how he answers it like. Yeah, you don't see what we see from down on the field. No, we all see it. 3-2, full count, two outs. You guys should be hauling ass like he stole something.
Yeah.
Coming around third base.
Well, you deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com, today. Mac Jones and the Niners outlast the Rams in overtime yesterday. 26-23 was the final in L.A. Mac Jones completed 33 of 49 passes for 342 yards and two touchdowns in the win. It's a Patriots Friday. We talked to Robert Spillane earlier this morning about all things Sunday Night Football between the Pats and Bills for Week 5. You can listen to that on the Odyssey app right now. And before Sunday, Saturday, we've got BC and Pitt at noon and UMass in Western Michigan at 2:30. And there are many options to lose weight, but are they safe? Maybe. Are they effective? Maybe. Will they keep my weight off? That's a maybe too. Last one, will it be easy and fit into my life? Again, maybe. Cut the maybes and go to the solution. Awaken180weightloss.com. That's what's trending. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jay Leno.
All right, we are in Rhode Island. I just want to thank you, Rhode Island people. Whenever we come here, you guys show up. You're incredible. I may even right now take advantage of the freedom that is afforded here in Rhode Island, not in Massachusetts, and throw in a flavored dip pouch.
Wow. Which,
I mean,
that's new for you.
Because there's freedom here.
There really is.
I can have a Skol Mint pouch in Rhode Island and be free.
I feel like a ragtag farmer.
Yeah, so... all right, we are in Newport, and we will be back with Jay Leno coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back in Newport, Rhode Island on a Flex Friday, and we are here for Audrain Newport Concours Motor Week. And, well, guys, how about a round of applause for our guests here?
Thank you, young people. Thank you.
We are here with the chairman of the Audrain Automobile Museum, Nick Shorts, and with probably... one of the greatest entertainers of our
of our
lifetime.
Yeah, that's why I'm here at 8 o'clock in the morning.
The great Jay Leno.
Well, thank you, show people.
I appreciate you doing the show. I didn't think after last year you'd come back.
No, I had a lot of fun last year. It was great. We had a good time.
Well, this event is great, and I know that that both of you do a lot getting ready for.
Oh yeah, well, you know, New England just makes me laugh. It's like the funniest place in the world. Like we're up here, so it makes me. This is the only car show. What, you got a Chevelle? What, you think you're better than me? You got a Chevelle? No, I'm here for the car show. No, yeah. What, do you think you're better than me? No, I don't. We both have to. You know, just makes me laugh. It's like funny.
Well, I was dying last night because you said this happens to you a lot, but there's a guy, Jeremy, here, who said to me last night, he goes, hey, Jay Leno bought this car from my uncle in Tewksbury. And so then I said, well, I'll bring you up. And he said, no, I've never purchased a car.
I've never bought a car in Tewksbury. So, you know, for some reason, I like Tewksbury. It's a lovely area. I just don't buy cars there. I don't know what to tell you. You know, where's the car? Oh, Tewksbury. No, no. Yeah. I like that. But that's the funny part, because people go, hey, you know, my my cousin New Hampshire, he paints all your cats. I live in California. Yeah, but he does all your painting. I don't send them to New Hampshire to get painted. Plus, I have a paint shop in my – yeah, we've painted it. He goes, no, but he does them all. Yeah, okay, you know, like the cousin couldn't be wrong. Yeah, I got it.
I did hear somebody was telling me last night that you wrote a piece in some publication about a guy who you met 40 years ago.
Oh, that's
who had a motorcycle.
This is classic English. Okay, I like motorcycles. There's a British motorcycle called the Brough Superior. It was the fastest motorcycle of the 20s. It was guaranteed to 100 miles an hour, which in the 20s was like crazy. Lawrence of Arabia owned 8 of them. That's how they sort of got famous off of him. He would write about his exploits. Okay. So I'm down in Austin, Texas, 1988, and this guy says to me, hey, you like motorcycles? I'm like, yeah, I've got a Brough Superior. I bought it in a box for $1,300 back in the 70s. Oh, what are you going to do with it? He says, well, I'm going to store it. After a start, I'll probably sell it. I said, well, tell you what, let me know when you finish it, and maybe I'll buy it from you. Okay, great. 1988. 2 months ago, he shows up at my garage. And he pulls in. Hey, can I help you? Yeah, it's done. What? The bike. What? I'm sorry. Oh, yes. All right. I said, okay, how's it run? He goes, I don't know. I wanted you to be the first one to start it. Wait, you haven't even run it yet. No. All right. So we take it out of the trailer, you know. And, you know, it's beautiful. I mean, he did an unbelievable job. Because it was called the 680, and they weren't very reliable when they were new. They had certain problems that the factory never fixed. And he fixed all those problems. So I kick it twice. It runs fine. I go, okay, I guess I have to buy it now. He goes, yeah, you said you're going to buy it. All right. I mean, I bought it. And then I had it about a month, and I figured, let me kind of give him a hard time. So I call him up and text him. I go, hey, listen, you know, I wish you'd taken another 10 or 15 years just to go over it and tighten. He goes, you know, I was thinking of doing that, but I wanted to get it to you sooner. I go, well, I appreciate that. Get it to me while I'm only 75 years old.
So it took the man 40 years to...
That's called an English restoration, yes.
Yeah, all right.
That's the way the English do it. Yeah, they're hilarious. Nobody funnier than the English.
How many automobiles are here this week?
We have 220 on the field for the Concours, and I think we'll have probably 35 today over at the Tennis Village, which is the Motor Village this weekend.
Yeah.
And they're all out this morning. It opens at 10 o'clock, and they're all race cars. So we go all the way from F1 all the way back to Indianapolis cars from the 30s.
Yeah.
And that's going to be another 30 cars, and then the gathering will be about 200 more over Rough Point starting this morning.
Well, you know the coolest thing about this event, and this is something we started here in Rhode Island. You go to these car shows, it's all old guys with gray hair, and it's fun till daddy takes the tape out of the way. And you see young people just run.
Yeah.
They go, what is that crap? It's like fingernails on a blackboard. They can't stand it. So we started a class called 30 Under 30. If you're 30 years or younger and you've restored any car for less than $30,000, you can be in the show. And these kids show up with their cars. They're so proud of them, you know. I mean, you've got your BMW from the 90s parked next to Mercedes and Ferraris, and these kids are so happy to be part of it. It really brings them into the fold, you know, because they don't really relate to Countaches and Lamborghinis because that wasn't the car when they were kids, you know.
Yeah.
So it really makes a lot of fun to get a lot of these nine cars that, to me, just look like the Walmart parking lot. But, you know, if you're 40 now, oh, the 90s were a hot time. They were cool cars. So it's a lot of fun to have this new class just to get this kind of much young blood coming into the hobby.
And that's really taken off because we have now 4 30 under 30 classes.
Wow, that's awesome.
And they have them out on the field next to a Duesenberg or a Bugatti, or an old Bugatti.
Yeah.
And sitting next to some of the great royalty of you know, classic car concourses, and they learn from them. And it's really a great bonding experience for them.
Jay, I think you hate this question, but because I asked it last year, I think, how many cars do you have now?
I think I gave the same answer. You sound like my wife. There's a lot of cars. I mean, I do that thing. Now, honey, you remember this? When it used to be blue, remember? Oh, you painted it? Yeah. I just painted it, honey.
So she doesn't want you spending the money on the car.
You know, she's fine. You know, Italy, you know, it's still cheaper than hookers and cocaine.
Everyone needs a vice.
No, I say to my wife, honey, just... Look at Charlie Sheen, okay? Compare the two of us. I come home reeking of transmission fluid, which is easier to deal with than, you know, coke and all this other kind of stuff.
That is true.
No, definitely true.
But, I mean, the 80s were quite a decade.
Yeah. Because they always know where you are, you know. There's an old golf joke that is a good comparison to the car hobby. This guy's playing golf on Saturday, you know, and he's supposed to be home at 5. Well, God, it's 10 minutes to 6. He's driving home. He sees a woman with a flat tire. I got a flat tire. I only live a mile. The guy goes, I'll change it for you. He changed the tire. Here you go. He all said to go, can you follow me home if I have another? And she's just hysterical. You know, the guy goes, oh, okay. You're not going to get a flat in a mile on that. Well, what if I do? All right. He follows her home. They get to her house. She goes, can I offer you a drink? Just to say thank you. My wife's waiting. Now, just one drink. The guy has a drink, then another drink, then they wind up in bed.
Oh, God.
Now they're having sex.
Yeah.
Now it's 11 o'clock at night. He's like, oh, what an idiot. I ruined my life. You know, I'm not going to live a lie. I just got to tell my wife what happened. I don't care. I'm not going to live a lie. He pulls in. The wife's got her arms folded in the driveway. Where were you? Honey, I was coming home with someone with a flat tire. She asked me to change. I changed it for her. And then she said, could you follow me home? All right. And I said, here you go. And she said, can I give you a drink? I got to go. My wife's away. I just wonder. Had a drink. Had another drink. Then we wound up in bed and had sex. The wife goes, you're a damn liar. You play another round of golf.
That's the way that would go.
Yeah, that's the way that goes. Same thing with the car hobby. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, he's still got it. Do you still, like, go out and do stand-up? I know you used to show up.
Yeah, that's how I make a living. Oh, I'm sorry. I should have cleared that up. Yeah, I hosted a TV show for a number of years.
You did?
Yeah.
Was it called The Tonight Show?
The Tonight Show, yeah. That's right.
But do you still show up, like, at the Comedy Store or something?
I was here Tuesday night. We did a show for
you did?
The charity. Yeah.
Yeah, so you still do it because you love it.
Yeah, well, here's his joke you'll like.
Yeah.
Three rich guys in Miami playing golf, you know. They go, we need a fourth. And they see a plumbing truck pull up. Guy gets out. He got his golf bag. How about that guy? Well, he's not really our class of people. I mean, the guy goes, look, let's invite him. You want to join? Oh, thanks, fellas. Guy says, listen, my club's not. I just had to make a phone call. Okay. Goes in and make a phone call. Meanwhile, the three rich guys start talking. One rich guy says, hey, how's your boy doing? He goes, oh, he's unbelievable. You know, he's in real estate. Here's how well he's doing. He gave his best friend a brand new condo, all expenses paid, free and clear. Oh, it's unbelievable. How's your boy doing? Well, my son, he's probably the biggest BMW dealer in southern Florida. You know, he handles all the cars. In fact, he gave his best buddy a brand new top of the line BMW, fully loaded, every option. That's unbelievable. Third guy. How about your kid? Well, like me, he's a stockbroker. Well, here's how well he's doing. His best friend, he gave him a $100,000 stock portfolio, absolutely free. God, this is unbelievable. Then the plumber comes back in. They go, hey, ready to play golf? They go, we're just talking about a kid. You got a kid? Yeah, I got a son. He's 22. What does he do? He's a gay dancer at a nude male strip club in Fort Lauderdale. And the three guys go, really? Is there any money in that? Oh, yeah. One guy gave him a condo. Another guy gave him a BMW.
Okay. Yeah, don't ever stop doing it. What did you – I've been so curious since
– So curious.
But what did you make of the Jimmy Kimmel stuff?
Look, it's a free speech deal. I agree with Jimmy. You know, Jimmy and I are friends. We've had our differences and stuff. It's fine. But, I mean, you can't just take a guy off the air because you don't like a joke he did about you. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you have to support that. I mean, the whole country is based on that. I mean, political discourse and satire is the whole basis of America. It's the only country in the world you can do that. You can't do it in North Korea. You can't do it in a lot of countries. You just get arrested, you know? And so to me, and I think ABC realized how stupid that was just to pull it off there. Because now you got people never watch the show are now watching the show because they don't like the indignity of it. You know?
Yeah. Johnny Carson did that famous 60 Minutes interview. I'm sure you've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Where he said he never went political.
Well, Reagan used to get mad at him because he'd do his Reagan impression all the time, and Reagan would kind of, hey, could you lay off there a little bit? that was basically my thing at the time, too. Well, we live in an era now where everybody has to know what you had for lunch, and let's see a picture of it, and, you know, just all this kind of stuff. But, yeah, it was a different time.
So you tend to try to find something funny as opposed to going.
Well, you try to humiliate and degrade equally on both sides. You know,
yeah. Smart. Yeah.
It's pretty easy to do, I think.
Both sides. And it makes it more fair, you know, because people are just waiting for you to make some tiny error. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Is when you look at that job. And it's way different, I think, now just because of the lives that everybody leaves and the way people consume.
It's not different. It's the same job.
But it's not consumed the way it used to be consumed.
Write joke, tell joke, get check. Very simple process. There's nothing harder than writing a joke.
Yeah.
But if you can get around it by giving your opinion or talking about an issue or whatever it might be, got out of writing. It's hard to write jokes. It's a lot of work. Half the time they don't work and whatever it might be. So that's if you just concentrate on the jokes, you'll probably do okay.
Did you, all your years on The Tonight Show, do you have a favorite guest?
Oh, I had a lot of favorite guests. I like politicians. That was fun. You know, Sean Connery. Yeah, I love Sean Connery. Because Sean Connery was not James Bond. I mean, he was a longshoreman. He was Mr. Universe, third runner-up, 1953. And he would fight at the drop of a hat. He would just fight anybody. Yeah, I think Scotland should put... Ah, look, I swallow it all. No, no. He would just go into a tirade, you know. And I would have him on, and he would come and he'd go, Gee, what's the latest filthy joke going about, Gee? You know? And I would tell him a joke, and he would laugh like a pirate. And he would actually slap his knee. You know, they would say something to me. I never saw anybody actually slap their knee. And he was like a loud guy, you know. We had these little tiny showers in the dressing room. Nobody ever used them, except Sean Connery. But he'd get in there with a bar and say, well, Scotland before you, I'll take the high road. And the news crew would come down and go, who's yelling? We're trying to do the news. It's Sean Connery in the show. You go tell him to shut up.
Sean Connery in the Tonight Show shower.
Yes.
It's so interesting you bring up free speech, especially when it comes to what's going on right now. A lot of stand-up comedians are in hot water with the Saudi Arabia stuff. Where do you fall on that? Them getting a check to be able to go over
here's
there?
Here's my thing. I don't criticize other comics.
Right.
I don't like this thing now where other comics are attacking for doing what you know, so look. If your wife just had a baby or whatever it might be, and you're not working, and you do a show. I mean, they're not giving an opinion.
Yep.
They're just doing what they do,
right.
Okay? I mean, I didn't go. I turned it down. But that's fine. That's fine. I love Bill Burr. I love Chappelle. All these guys are great. I don't think it's any big deal.
But you turned the money down.
Yeah, first of all, well, I have other reasons, too. You know, I'm kind of caretaker for Mario. So to me, to go to Saudi Arabia for a fun-filled weekend in Saudi Arabia, you know.
Yeah. You can't do that.
Oh, you ever been there?
No.
It is hilarious.
Wiggy wants to go.
Yeah, I love the Saudis. They got that long money. Well, the money that never runs out money.
Well, I went there for Desert Storm the first time, and I brought my wife. And I had to bring her in as a temporary man. Her passport... has her picture, and it says temporary man. She had to come in as temporary man. Okay, so this is a Riyadh. And then we go to this restaurant, right? So he sits down. You know those dressing things that, like in the old West, where he used to get, the woman would go behind it and get dressed and throw the clothes over, you know?
Yeah, you could see the shadow.
Okay, we sit down in the restaurant, and they put one of those around her. So I can't see her now. I said, how you doing there, honey? Good. Okay. You know, and the restaurant was like Prussian Italian. So it was It was like guys in powdered wigs and red vests bringing you spaghetti. It was like an episode of Star Trek where they're on a planet where you picked up the radar waves from different things and you're not quite sure what it is. It was like the goofiest.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I go back to my room and I turn on the TV and Star Trek is on. Oh, I'll watch Star Trek. And it's Kirk going, Thursday, fine, yes, okay. And I realize they've edited out all the female speaking parts.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. It's just the guys talking to the wall. And it was like the strangest thing. It was like all this. They go through every magazine with a straight razor, and they take out bra ads or panty ads, anything that has.
Is it still? It's still like.
No,
that.
No. I'm talking about 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, it's much more liberal.
I got to ask a question.
Did you meet a guy over there who said he was working on a camel that he was going to sell you in 40 years?
Yes, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
No, I'm fascinated with the world of comics and just whether it was the Eddie Murphy documentary or Richard Pryor and how they start at a young age and get into it, because I think a comedian is the hardest thing to do because you have to be up there on stage on your own and get an emotional reaction out of people. What made you?
That's coming from a guy who won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So you would say that's harder.
I think
that's harder.
No. I truly believe that, if the one gift, I almost believe it's a gift that comedians have. And what made you, or when did you know, this is what I'm good at. This is what I want to do. Was you a little kid that used to tell jokes in front of the family? I think Eddie Murphy used to do that.
Well, I remember as a kid getting laughs with certain things. When you're comedy, you just kind of remember everything that gets a laugh. I remember my mother had taken me. Nobody had child care then. Your mother just dragged you everywhere, So my mother goes over to see my aunts, and they're sitting around, they're drinking wine. I'm like five, I think four or five. And they're all getting a little loopy, And I'm looking at these women, and I said, I thought it was a legitimate question. I said, hey, Mom, how come women have humps like camels? And I hear, woo! What I say? I remember that. I didn't know why I got a reaction at the time, but Kathy, that woman who's going to be trouble. They're all cackling. And
that
I went,
was your first laugh.
Actually, my first laugh was in fourth grade in Mrs. Allen's class. It was the first real joke. She's telling us about Robin Hood and the Sherwood Forest and how cruel the Sheriff of Nottingham was, And she said, when the sheriff captured Robin's men, he would boil them in oil. And I put my hand up and I said, you know why she did that to Tuck? And I said, no, because he was a friar.
Give him a laugh.
No. So anyway, so I saw the teacher go, all right, now that's not fun. But she's starting to smile, Okay, so I got a reaction. And then later in the day, I'm walking past the teacher's lounge, and one of the teachers says, hey, Leno, come here. What did you say in class? I said, what? What did you say in class about Friar Tuck? And I told him the joke. And the teacher went back to the teacher's lounge with my joke.
And shared your joke.
I said, this is going to be good. you just kind of remember everything you say that gets a reaction or something. It just sort of helps.
Are you guys here for a little bit? I know. Okay, I just got to take a quick break.
You want us to leave now? You here?
A little bit. can we hear it for Jay?
Well, thank you.
And for Nick. Without them, there would be no Audrain Motor Week. And so we will take a quick break in Newport, Rhode Island, and be right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back.
Hello.
We are back in Newport, Rhode Island on a Flex Friday at the Newport Craft Brewery with Nick Schorsch, who is the chairman of the Audrain Automobile Museum here, and with Jay Leno, the legendary entertainer. We have a little jinx that happens on this show sometimes. So we'll have somebody on and they'll get hurt playing a game, or God forbid, I mentioned somebody's name and they pass away right after. And so
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah.
That's great.
Last year we had you on.
Right.
And then like a week and a half later.
Yeah, I fell down that hill. Yeah.
You fell down the hill, and all these people were speculating. They're like, oh, my God, Jay Leno got beat up. Like, what's America?
Love the idea that the Gavone brothers would drive to Greenberg, Pennsylvania, to go to a Hampton Inn on a rainy night to throw a guy down a hill. Why'd you just shoot me? It's so stupid.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. And, you know, because it's funny, because the place had one of these driveways that goes in a circle up to the top of the hill. So I come out and I go, where's the place to eat? And the guy goes, it's the place right there. And he points. He goes, but it's about a mile and a half if you take the road. I said, well, I'll just go down the hill. And, of course, I have dress shoes on. I just fall on my face. Just I can bash my eye up, right? So I'm still going to get something to eat, right? So I get in my eyes all, not my eyes swollen shut, right? So again, I ordered the chicken parmesan sandwich. Okay, so after the news crew goes out and interviews the guy who made my chicken parmesan sandwich, and they said, "What did he have? Chicken parmesan? What is that exactly?" Or it's a breast of chicken, and the guy explains how he makes the sandwich. It was great.
It was hilarious. Well, I think like the older, you know, I'm getting up there, unfortunately. It's you actually would prefer to say, me personally, rather than say I fell down a hill, I'd prefer to say, hey, yeah, I got beat up because I got gambling debts.
Actually, that's not really preferable.
That's not preferable.
Yeah,
no.
I think being an old guy to fall. Well, the funny thing, as I'm falling down the hill, there are these two ladies at the bottom of the hill, and I hear the lady go, I think that's Jay Leno falling down. She goes, why would Jay Leno be in Greenberg, Pennsylvania? This is ridiculous. I think that's him. So I'm like, I'm getting up. And I said, hi, girls. Oh, can you give me a ride to the restaurant? Sure, okay. So give me a ride to the restaurant, the chicken parmesan. I mean, it's just like funny. But the really funniest part is, it got to be such a huge story, all the mob and I owe money and all this kind of stuff, that, I lost my train of thought here. Where was I going with this? What happened?
You actually paid the mob off?
No. I forgot. Go ahead.
It happened. That happens to Greg. Like,
yeah, it does. It happens to me all the time. It does.
Jay, I'm curious just in terms of why comedians are become so much more afraid, timid, when it comes to just making people laugh and saying outlandish. Like, I think Ricky Gervais is brilliant.
Yeah, Ricky's
and he stands good. Alone because he's one of very few people that's willing to make fun of anything.
Right.
Why
right.
has that shifted, do you think?
I don't think it's never shifted. It's been exactly, you know, you have all different kinds of comedians. You have guys do impressionists. You know, like Dana Carvey is a hilarious, he kills me. But it's not political, even though he does both sides. He does Trump, he does Biden, he does them all. I never think of it as political, and that's his choice, too, because he's a comedian. Your first job is to get laughs. A lot of people think, and it's fine, that what they have to say on an issue is important. You know, okay, that's fine. You might sacrifice some laughs for that, and people might criticize you for it. But to me, Rodney and I were friends for 40 years. I have no idea if he was a Republican or Democrat. We never talked about it. We just talked about jokes, you know.
Yeah.
And Rodney was hilarious. Yeah, just like the funniest guy. His thing was the economy of words. The shortest, the smallest amount of words to tell a joke. You know, like one of my favorite Rodney jokes, he goes, I went to the doctor. Doc said, I need a urine sample, a semen sample, and a stool sample. So I gave him my underpants. I mean, that's a great joke.
Rodney Dangerfield was, when you look back at Johnny Carson, he was one of the great guests on that show.
Oh, like,
Unbelievable guest on that.
Well, that was my favorite thing, because I would watch Johnny be straight man. Pretty rough, Rodney? Oh, I tell you, Johnny, it's unbelievable. And then he'd say something there. It was pretty cold.
Yeah.
Really? How cold was Rodney? Oh, I got to tell you, Johnny. You know, so having the opportunity to do that with Rodney was so much fun, to be the straight man, to watch Rodney bounce off.
Yeah. Was, minus yourself, of course, was Johnny Carson the best late night host ever?
I think that's fair to say. I mean, in terms of...
Courtney and Chime, don't I have no idea, probably.
No, I know who he is, yet. Of course.
I think that's true. He did it the longest, and to this day still held the biggest audience ever. But television changes. You know, you got streaming now. You can watch all three Godfathers without commercials, you know.
I want to ask a question, because it's interesting that you talk about all these different comedians. You know, Chappelle's, he gets jokes, and he says whatever's on his mind. Maybe it might be hard for you to answer. Who, in your opinion, is, you know, maybe the greatest comic ever, or is...
Of all time.
Of all time, or who is the greatest show that you ever seen? Maybe,
well,
it might
be... Well, you know, Tony, I work with... I call him Richie Pryor. He was Richie when we knew him. It's Richard... Now you say Richard Pryor. Mm-hmm. But he was Richie then. And I tried to follow him every night at the Comedy Store, because he would get up and he would blow the room out. Just people falling down, dying, laughing, you know. And... I wanted to go on after him to see if I... And I realized I didn't have 45 minutes. I had maybe 12 minutes of stuff that actually worked. And it makes you a better comic, because you throw away everything that's not working. But working with Richie for a couple of months at the comedy, that was one of my favorites. Just watching the way he put stuff together and had that... Just that weird, you know, hilarious. Just very funny guy.
So Richard Pryor would be your...
Yeah, I'd put Richie right up.
Do you have a favorite up-and-comer?
Well, also Bob Newhart.
Oh, really?
Really?
Wow.
Only for Bob Newhart. You know, here's one of my favorite. This is like the typical Bob Newhart thing, and you have to listen. He had a bit about the first astronaut to have contact with extraterrestrials.
Oh, yeah.
So he has contact with extraterrestrials in space. And he comes back to Earth, and there's a huge press conference. And one of the reporters said, "How far ahead of us are these aliens?" And Bob says, "About 6 weeks." And because 6 weeks, 6 months is too far. 2 weeks, you catch up. But you can't catch up to 6 weeks. Just the idea that a civilization is only six weeks.
Six weeks.
Right. And you can't catch up.
Yeah.
And to me, he always had those kind of, you had to listen, you had to pay
attention. You have to think about it.
Yeah, so there's all different kind of comedians. Oh, there's so much. Bill Burr's one of my, it kills Burr has that classic Boston, what are you, smart ass? Just that hilarious kind of Boston attitude.
Yeah, well, but a lot of great comedians came from Boston.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a great place to be from, because it's just so quirky. You know, I remember, this is what I love about New England. When Mayor Dukakis ran for president, he campaigned on a platform of mandatory seatbelt law. That was his thing.
Yeah.
And people in Massachusetts rebelled against it. And they were selling T-shirts that had a fake seatbelt on it. So you put this on and drive it, and if a cop saw you, it looked like you were wearing a seatbelt. So, okay, what is the point of that? Just so stupid.
Yeah.
That New England, you know.
Massachusetts.
I want to smoke. It's about freedom. Of freedom to smoke. Smoke whatever you want.
If I want to go through the windshield, it should be my right.
My right.
That's what I love about New England. Just that quirky New England Yankee kind of, hilarious.
Well, what New England loves is you. So,
thank you very much.
Jay Leno?
Well, come down to Rhode Island to the car show this week.
Yeah, so a bunch of events, Nick.
Yes.
Today
we have the Village Open. It's free, and that's where all the race cars are from the 30s all the way through F1 cars that are current. And IROC cars are coming back. That whole series has been bought and brought back. And they're going to have a bunch of IROC cars.
I love those. The IROC Zs?
Yep.
Yeah, Pontiac. Man.
Well, here's the best thing. There's stuff for your spouse to do. You know, you come here and there's the mansion tours. So if you're with someone, male or female, who's not particularly a car person, there's an Italian festival going on as well.
And we're also doing we also at the gathering today, there's
food, there's entertainment, there's cars.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things to do that have nothing to do with cars on the site. And then tomorrow, on Sunday, before the concourse, many of the entrants go out on the field at 6:30 in the morning, and their wives or their husbands, depending on which one's the car enthusiast, doesn't have anything to do. So they can go to the mansions, or they can go do yoga out on the cliff walk.
Ooh. Well, who doesn't want to do yoga on the cliff walk?
Yeah.
Yeah. The crowds.
We were, and thank you, we were at your shack last night.
Yep.
I feel it's only fair that we go to Jay's place today.
Oh, you know, I'm kind of tied up.
Oh, you are?
It's such short notice.
I mean, yeah. Is it big enough?
Yeah.
What is it, like a two-room?
Yeah, but you have a big house. What do you think, you're better than me because you got a house there?
Big house.
Look, you're going
to Newport. Big mansion in Newport.
You got a big
Jay
mansion.
Leno?
What are you saying?
All right. Round of applause for
thank you.
Guys.
Thank you, people.
Yeah. All right.
You want a quick joke?
Yeah.
It's a joke you like.
Okay.
A 60-year-old couple's walking down the beach holding hands. The wife looks down, sees an Aladdin's lamp in the sand. What? She rubs it. Genie puts it. Yeah, what do you want? She goes, oh, I always wanted to travel. I do anything to travel. Poof! The travel brochure's over. She's picking them up. The husband goes, hey, come here. He grabs the lamp, rubs it. Genie comes out. Genie goes, what do you want? He goes, I want to travel too. But I want to do it with a woman 30 years younger than me. The genie goes, poof, you're 90.
All right. Yeah, on that note, we will be right back with Beat the Geek. And we have an expert this time. So Beat the Geek coming up next from Newport, Rhode Island on a Flex Friday at WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.